Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
From Searchlight to the Senate with very little. Now you're one of the richest men in the U.S. Senate. On behalf of Nevada taxpayers, I'd like to know, we'd like to know, how did you become so wealthy on a government payroll?
Senator Reid.
Mitch, that's really a kind of a low blow. I think most everyone knows I was a very successful lawyer. I did a very good job in investing. I have been on a fixed income since I went to Washington. I've lived off of what I made in the private sector. I put my five kids through 100 semesters of school, and I paid for every penny of it. So her suggestion that I made money being a senator is simply false, and I'm really disappointed that she would suggest that.
I'm a retired investor on a pension. I went to Israel because I wished to live there as a Jew in the twilight of my life.
They're not singing Little Girl of Mine over in Nevada. The Little Lady angle is sure giving old Harry Reid a run for his money. She's no little lady. Girl's a school teacher. And she's asking a question that we should be asking of Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer. They all act like they're poor and for the downtrodden. They become grotesquely wealthy. And so have their families while they've been in office. So therefore, I say to you, Sharon Angle, Tea Party favorite, I hope to God she wins. And this will send a strong message across the Democrat Party, I hope. This is Friday. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday, 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. There's phenomenal news out there, by the way, really big news. We have evidence of a Fort Hood massacre cover-up by the U.S. Army itself that I will disclose to you a little later on in the Savage Nation. Let me repeat that. To me, the lead story is that the Fort Hood massacre by Muslim Major Nidal Hassan is being covered up by the U.S. Army itself. Why do I say it? Because a soldier who survived the Fort Hood massacre perpetrated by the Muslim Major Nidal Hassan made a video recording of Hassan shooting people to death during the act on his cell phone, and he was ordered to delete the videos immediately after the massacre by his commanding officer. That's the story. We're going to talk about that and certainly much more on the Savage Nation. Again, it's Open Mic to Mike Friday. Any topic is fair game. 1-800-449-8255. All the good topics are up on michaelsavage.com. In fact, I think I'm going to go there for you right now so that you can hear some of the news that made it to the front of my website. I mean, I do scour the news all day like many people do, but I pick the stories that I think are the most interesting. And to me, that's the most interesting. And that is the notes on the Fort Hood massacre cover-up. This was an AP story, and you had to read the entire story that was buried under this headline, Fort Hood shootings hearing winds up for the week. No mention of who the shooter was, no mention of his religion, no mention of the cover-up by the Army, no mention of the erasure of the video of it. This is right out of a banana republic. Thugs are running the United States of America. And the headline I put up is Army Covers Up Mass Murder at Fort Hood. Read it. Read the story yourself. You decide. And if you missed Ted Nugent's review of trickle-up poverty, let me read you one line. If Dirty Harry wrote books instead of blowing away bad guys, he would have written trickle-up poverty. Ted Nugent says, savage display of conservative intellectual firepower. Now, there's a man. There's a man who likes my show and is willing to put his body on the line instead of the phonies who like my show and make believe they don't. And believe me, there are many famous people who listen to this show and then deny that they do. On the bottom right of my site is a very interesting piece of propaganda. My headline says, Black Perps Sketched as White Perps by SFPD. The article says San Francisco police have released a sketch of one of the two men who used brass knuckles to attack a couple at Coy Tower. And then they describe the assailants as black men. And if you look at the picture, he looks like an Italian baker. Now ask yourself why they would do that. Why would they make black perps look white in an official release from the SFPD? Well, I think you can figure it out, and now you understand why crime is out of control in San Francisco. It's all a matter of smears and cover-ups. Let's go to the first caller of the day, Shay in Iowa. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm really interested in reading your book, and I live out in the middle of nowhere, and the closest bookstore to me is like an hour and a half away. So I decided to go to my library to see if they have it in, and they don't. So I said, you know, can you please bring it in for me? So she said, okay, you know, come back tomorrow and I'll see what I can do. And she told me that the closest place where they have it is in Des Moines, which is 4 hours away from me. So supposedly it's too far for them to loan it from the other library. So I said, well, can you order it for me? So she said, okay, let me see. Come back again. So I went back, and she says, I'm really sorry, but I don't think I can bring it in. It's a little bit too political for us.
She said it's what? A little what?
Too political. I said, too political?
Wait a minute. Are you saying that your librarian has made a value judgment that my conservative book, Trickle Up Poverty, is too conservative? Why don't you review some of the liberal books that she has ordered and see if that's what – I mean, is this fair? Is this permissible?
No, it's not. And I told – and I came out and I said to her, I said, well, you know, you do have Mein Kampf in your library. You have Hitler's book in your library, but Michael Savage is too political.
Oh, my God. She doesn't – she won't have my book, but she has Das Kapital and Mein Kampf?
Yeah.
Who is this lunatic? You know, she should lose her job for this, by the way.
I was thinking of writing a letter.
You should write – you're from Ireland originally.
South Africa originally.
And what made you move to the middle? Are you farming out there to get away from the apartheid that's coming?
Well, I moved when I was really young with my parents.
Are you farming? What are you growing out there?
I'm not growing anything. Growing a family, if that counts.
So you decided to go to the heartland. Well, I'm sending you two free copies of Trickle Up Poverty, one for you and one for your damn librarian. Stay on the line. Let's go to Indiana. Melody, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks.
And I'm a liberal, and I just bought Trickle Up Poverty today, and I've started on it, and I can't wait to finish it.
So why would you buy the book if you're a liberal?
I was very excited when Obama was elected.
Right.
I was one of those who was wanting the hope and the change and the good feelings and all that, and I don't know if my hope for that, you know, clouded my vision, but I want both sides of the story. I don't want just the liberal side. Right.
I understand. Are you in the 20 age 20 bracket?
No, I'm actually, I'll be 50.
And you're still a liberal? I mean, there's an old adage which says if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. But if you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. I mean, how did this happen to you?
Oh, I used to not be a liberal. But as, I don't know, I had children, and that changed everything.
You had children and became more liberal?
I became more liberal. My heart is bigger, and I have tolerance, and I...
Well, I don't think you understand that you can be a conservative and still have a big heart and be very compassionate. In fact, it's the conservatives who have real compassion. It's the liberals who tell us what to think, what to eat, how to speak, what to say. They are the real neo-fascists, not us. We believe in freedom. They don't.
But when, you know, conservatives, and let's just take, for example, the anti-abortion stance. Aren't you really telling people what to do and how to live their life?
Well, if someone tells you to have an abortion, aren't they telling you how to live and how to live your life, telling you to cut a baby out of your womb? Aren't they also telling you what to do?
Well, I don't think anybody's telling you to do that.
Well, I didn't say that abortion should be illegal. I said abortion should be minimized, and I certainly think that late-term abortion is infanticide and should be prohibited except when the mother's life is in danger. I'm very clear on that. I have very strong feelings about late-term abortion. I mean, I think you know the difference between a ninth-month pregnancy abortion and a first-month abortion, correct?
Oh, yes. I absolutely agree on that one.
I mean, the baby is alive, and by seventh month, there's a human being in there.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And for myself, I would never have an abortion, but I don't.
You're saying because you have kids, you don't want to wind up on the wrong side of them, really.
Oh, no. Well, no.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. We'll talk after you get it and read, okay? 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. And here's one that should scare you to your core. It's a direct result of Obama's, I don't know whether to say capitulation to communism or his cooperation with the leading communists of the world. Russia to build Venezuela's first nuke plant. Does that scare you? You know that one nuke can ruin your entire day, even if you're a communist? Russia to build Venezuela's first nuke plant. Russia agreed to build Venezuela's first nuclear power station after talks between Presidents Dmitry Medvedev and Hugo Chavez at the Kremlin. Don't you see what's going on? Don't you see that China owns us economically? And now Russia and China are no longer afraid of us because Obama is capitulating to them or cooperating with them. Don't you see how Obama is destroying our national security stone by stone? Remember, it was Obama, as I point out in Trickle Up, who said he's going to destroy our nuclear arsenal by taking down one-third of our weaponry and diminishing one-third of our submarines. So why should Russia fear a paper tiger? So now they can do anything in our sphere of influence because the president has said, I'm working with you, honey. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm a retired investor on a pension. I went to Israel because I wished to live there as a Jew in the twilight of my life.
Yeah, well, that came from The Godfather. Here's some good news coming out of Holland. Geert Wilders has found not guilty on all counts. Now, as you know, Wilders was first banned in Britain. Then he was tried for discriminating against Muslims for things he said in his native Holland. Today, the Public Prosecution Department, just minutes ago, stated that Geert Wilders is not guilty of discriminating against Muslims. Earlier on Friday, it announced that he should also be found not guilty of inciting hatred. The prosecutors reached their conclusions after a careful reading of interviews with and articles by the anti-Islam politician and a viewing of his anti-Quran film Fitna. They said that his comments about banning the Quran can be discriminatory, but because Wilders wants to pursue a ban along democratic lines, there is no question of incitement to discrimination as laid down in law. And when he compared the Quran with Mein Kampf, Hitler's book, the prosecutor said the comparison was crude, but that did not make it punishable. Dealing earlier on Friday with incitement to hatred, the prosecutor said some comments could incite hatred against Muslims if taken out of context. But if the complete text is considered, it can be seen that Wilders is against the growing influence of Islam and not against Muslims per se. The Public Prosecution Department was forced to take this case by the High Court after anti-racism campaigners protested at its refusal to prosecute Wilders. God bless freedom of speech. God bless Holland. God bless what's going on in Europe. I only pray to God that we free ourselves, Holland, for doing this. What a great day for freedom. What a great day for freedom. Geert Wilders found not guilty on all counts. Now, of course, as you well know, I am still banned from entering merry old England. And I just got to give you a quick update. For those of you who have contributed to the Savage Legal Fund, that I'm not raising funds right now. We have enough. My lawyers, now there are two, three in England, another one in England, one in the U.S., that's four. We're working, okay? It's not easy. Fighting a government can take your entire life. It didn't sap all my energy. I still wrote a bestseller. Okay? I guess it's the peasant in my soul. I guess it's the pushcart in my heart. I guess it's the fact that the planet. If we had Churchill in England, I would have been given the Knight's Cross. I would have been given a knightship by the Queen. And that idiot who banned me would have been thrown out of England. But the world is upside down. Same thing here in America. Same thing here in America. Joel in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mr. Savage, I've been reflecting back upon my youth as a boy growing up in Queens, like you were, and I really came to the realization that I think the United States of America was at its zenith when Dwight Eisenhower was president, and I think we've been on a slippery slope, and all the way...
Wait, hold on. You know something? I don't agree with you. I'll tell you. You know, I have a joke. I have a 1965 Cadillac convertible, 52,000 miles, and I use it as a metaphor for when America was great. And I say it's when the chrome was thick and the women were straight as a joke, okay? But I think the demise of America occurred somewhere around the Vietnam War. I think that the Vietnam War was the greatest mistake America ever engaged in. I think it permitted the radical left, the communists, to spread their wings and fly like eagles. And as a result, America has never been the same. So I would trace it back to the Vietnam War, not to Eisenhower.
Well, we're almost in the same ballpark. Certainly by the 60s, that was the beginning of the trend downward. I would agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Well, I know what you're saying is that Eisenhower was the last great president in that regard. But America had just been... had just defeated Hitler. America was supreme. I mean, it had almost bled to death. We almost lost the war, you know, in 41, 42. People don't know that. But we won the war because of the men who sacrificed their lives in order to win the war. And because we had men with guts willing to saturate bomb Germany and to atomic bomb Japan. Otherwise, we never would have won the war had we didn't have... If we had men like Gates right now and Mullen, we'd still be fighting World War II or we would have lost it.
Well, Mr. Savage, as you've said many times, the United States of America military might, we could crush the resistance in these 7th century fights that we're in right now in a matter of days, but the military is not able to use their might because of the lousy politicians
Yes.
and civilians that are running this country. America's
Yes.
might militarily is beyond belief. But when
I know that. That's why I don't watch Military History Channel anymore. It makes me sick to see these advanced weapons that the boys can't use. Instead, we send our best and our brightest over to Afghanistan to fight in hand-to-hand combat with degenerate throwbacks who have no love for humanity. You get a free copy of TUP.
Savage.
When this doctor speaks, people listen. He is simply one of the most popular radio talk show hosts in America, and he has the prescription for what ails us. The one and only Dr. Michael Savage joining us on San Diego Living. Dr. Savage, good to see you.
Thank you very much. It is truthfully a pleasure to be with you because I know San Diego is almost my hometown in terms of loyalty of audience.
Well, and in terms of your latest book here, Trickle Up Poverty, too, it really focuses in on some issues here in San Diego, namely our military and our borders. Talk to me about those two issues.
Right. When I say trickle-up poverty, obviously it's the economy stupid kind of thing, right? We learned just this week that President Obama has added more to the national debt in the first 19 months than all presidents from Washington through Reagan combined. So you say, okay, we know that. What else is new? Well, let's talk about the military. I don't have to mention the border problem in San Diego. When you've got a federal government taking the side of a foreign power instead of the side of the American people, A, we're in trouble, and B, we don't know where to turn. But let's look at the military. I have a whole chapter on saving the military. What do I mean by saving the military? I say Obama is defunding the military. I also call for increasing the salaries of active combat troops. I don't hear that coming from any politicians out there. But perhaps the most controversial thing in here, Mark, is why are we in Afghanistan? You know, Mr. Conservative, you'd think I'd say go get him. Go get who? Our government won't even name the enemy, Mark. The guys don't know who the enemy is. And then when they do engage the enemy, if they do so a little too forcefully, they get a court-martial. Somebody's bothering me here, Mark. He knows he's on.
Well,
he wants to come up.
I think I know what you're referring to here. As I listened to your show yesterday, you were really wrestling with how to market this book, how to bring this book to the public. And you were thinking about two different approaches, the fire and brimstone approach, and then maybe just let Teddy sell it for you. Is Teddy with you?
I brought him. He's been in the studio. He's been hanging out eating yogurt parfaits, pizza, bagels. But I don't know if you're going to believe this. This is the first of all the shows I've done today where he's actually come up on my lap because he's dying to meet your audience. So here he is.
The one and only Teddy.
Here he is. And Teddy, the mascot of the Savage Nation, has one thing to say, okay? Don't roll over for Obama. And don't let America go to the dogs. I don't think that that's so unusual.
No, it's not. But I understand the problem that you were grappling with at the top of the show yesterday. Because, again, you came on with fire and brimstone yesterday, and then you paused and you said, wait a second. Maybe you don't want to hear this. Maybe you would just like life to be wonderful and sweet and nice. And it's not that way.
Mark, you know that that's exactly what I face every day in the radio business. It's a very difficult thing to understand, which is how do people really want to hear you, your message? Sometimes you can get so impassioned, the women get scared, to be frank with you. The
sure.
guys like the anger. They do. But I found out that a lot of women won't listen to a man who's angry. It's absolutely true. So if I do the softer approach, the Teddy approach, and I talk about the trickle-up poverty, which is real, but I come up with solutions, maybe I'll get people to read the book who normally wouldn't. And truthfully, Mark, it isn't about making me rich. This book was scheduled to be released just now, just before the election. I want to shape the outcome of the election. I'm praying that the people go to the polls informed. And I have an architectural plan. Let me talk about the economy, if I can, for a minute.
Sure.
China. Tariffs on Chinese goods. Not one politician is calling for that. I call for tariffs on Chinese goods. Why? It's not a level playing field. When they're paying $1 to $5 an hour, and we're paying $15 to $50 an hour, how can you compete with that? It's okay to say I'm for free trade when it's truly free trade, but you can't compete when you're paying slave wages in China. The only way to stop them from decimating our industrial base any further is put tariffs on Chinese goods. America is the greatest manufacturing nation on earth. It can be restored. I'd like to see the factories rebuilt and the factories running again and put the American people to work. We can do it. Tariffs on Chinese goods is the first good step.
Now, the book is incredibly detailed in the amount of documentation and the amount of real knowledge that you put behind these opinions. But the basic premise is pretty simple, and that's that the middle class really is under attack, trickle-up poverty. The middle class is going to be impoverished before you can blink an eye if we continue on the same path.
That's who pays the bills. It's the middle class. The poor don't pay taxes, so they're not paying the bills. The rich have all sorts of tax schemes, by and large, not all. I'm not a poor man. I pay a lot of money in taxes. But we're talking about the people in the real power structure. They have ways of receiving money, through earnings, through their corporation, where they're paying 15%. I'm paying 50% state and local. So it's the middle class that's getting hammered and is shrinking. But, you know, this is by design, Mark. People don't want to hear this. President Obama is a lifetime left-winger. He's a lifetime Marxist. I don't have to mince words. The guy has hung around in colleges all his life where the middle class, meaning the bourgeoisie, has been the enemy. Believe me, no matter what he says, his people and people around them have targeted the middle class. They're not helping the middle class, because if they were, I wouldn't be talking right now, because Obama would be more popular than ever. His own people have been jumping ship because they see that they're hitting an iceberg in a month from now. Why is the Democrat Party about to go down? It's because they've attacked the very source of the income for the whole United States of America, which is the middle class. We've got to turn it around. I have a 37-point program in trickle-up poverty. I can't give all the 37 points, nor would I expect you to want to hear them all. But those points are valid points, not only on economic issues, but also on social issues. The Republicans, in their plan 2 weeks ago, didn't mention one social issue. How can we be in a country without any social leadership?
Well, I'll tell you, folks need to go to their bookstore today. Trickle Up Poverty is out there today. They need to walk up to the counter and they need to say, I need a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. And they need to put their hand out and expect that the bookstore will have that on hand. Am I right?
If they don't, then somebody should get fired, because this book should be in every bookstore in America today. It's the last roll of the dice for me, and I hope it's not the last roll of the dice to save America.
Dr. Michael
Savage. I
wrote
this book. Thank you very much, Mark.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir, and we'll hear you this afternoon at 3 o'clock on the radio right here in San Diego. Dr. Michael
Savage. We'll talk about Teddy.
Okay, way to go, Teddy. Trickle Up Poverty is the name of Dr. Savage's latest book.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. 'Tis twilight time. When purple colored.
It is the economy, the economy, and the economy stupid. It is the economy stupid. It is the economy stupid. First Lady campaigns inside polling place, claims ignorance of the law and is given a pass. Well, she's First Lady. It's nice to be queen. Obama's half-brother, age 52, marries a teenage girl. Well, what can you say about that? This is a family show, that's all. If it was a, you know, a nightclub show, I'd have a few things to say. But it's not a nightclub show. Nancy Pelosi says she can't debate her Republican opponent now because time is money. Can you believe this? The Speaker of the House had a big mouth and a big hammer when she was jamming Obamacare down our throats. But now she can't be found? That's all. Big news isn't even up on the sites yet, except on my site, which is that Geert Wilders has been found innocent, basically of hate crimes against Islam, which is amazing. Just amazing. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Blue Cross Blue Shield to raise rates up to 47%. Thank you, Obama. All you liberals, you have no idea what you did to yourself. I warned you, try to warn you, try to stop you. Try to warn you, independents, what would happen. But you said Michael Savage was too extreme. You said Michael Savage was making it up. You said Obama was the Messiah. Blue Cross, Blue Shield to raise rates by up to 47%. And you'll be paying for it through the nose. You'll be paying for, I'm not happy about it. Healthcare reform blamed for huge hike in premiums. Did you hear this? Connecticut. In Connecticut. The land of the psycholib from Hades. The land of the psycholib in Connecticut, the only people on earth who want to pay more taxes. People who are enrolled, is it Anthem? Anthem, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield, the go-ahead to raise premiums by as much as 47% for some members and say healthcare reform is the reason why. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal sent a letter to Insurance Commissioner Thomas Sullivan on October 6th, asking what he called excessive increases were approved without full consideration of all the facts. Well, what can I tell you? Sullivan responded to Blumenthal saying the new rates included very rich benefits mandated by federal law. How do you like that? How do you like that? So you didn't know this. You didn't know this would happen to you. You thought someone else would pay for it. Well, you're going to pay for it. Everybody knew that premiums would skyrocket under Obama, except you, the voter. Do you understand this? You're going to give universal health care basically to illegal aliens in Connecticut and elsewhere. You're going to give unlimited health care to children. Who's going to pay for it? You idiot, you. You know what's interesting to me, and this is a very touchy point. Insurers are now required to carry people with pre-existing conditions. Now, you may say that's very compassionate, but let's look at the other side of that argument. A person has a debilitating illness. And they say, well, now you have to carry me. That's like saying, I've just had an auto accident. I want insurance. How does that work? I've just been in a head-on collision, but I have no insurance. Give me insurance. So everyone has to pay for me. What sense does this make? You mean the person with a pre-existing condition doesn't have 1,000% more a premium to pay? Why not? Because you're a moron. You should pay for it. You deserve it. You deserve to pay for it because you're a big putz. That's why. You, the American people, are the biggest schmucks on the planet. I warned you. Others warned you. We told you Obama's a communist. My whole book, Trickle Up Poverty, exposes what he's going to do next. You don't want to hear it, though. Wait till your premiums go up. Wait till your food prices start to skyrocket. Wait till a dollar is devalued by another 10 or 15% next year. You keep waiting. Wait till Venezuela builds nukes. Go ahead, keep waiting and keep sitting there with your head in the sand. Oh, he's great. He's hope. Anybody but an old white guy. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're such a good liberal. You're such a good liberal, you morons. You don't even know when a traitor appears in your midst because you never read your literature. You never read your Roman history. You read nothing. All you read were condom boxes and the labels on condom boxes, you idiots, you. That's what they taught you in college. How to choose prophylactics. Kansas City, Mindy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Michael, well, first off, I just want to say you don't scare me at all when you're angry. I love your show. Go Teddy. I wanted to I wanted to
everybody loves Teddy. You know, today my publisher flew out from New York, and the director of publicity. They're so happy with the success of the book. It's a real honor for me to have entertained them here in California this morning for breakfast. I got to tell you this, but you know who they wanted to meet?
Teddy.
You said, wasn't me, not me. It was Teddy.
Yeah.
I said, one thing is, you have to know is his agent is not here. He cannot discuss performance fees. But everybody loves Teddy. Okay, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to tell you, I went into my local Borders store here, and they were totally sold out of your book. She said the very first weekend, which I thought it came out Monday, but she seemed to tell me that it was sold out this weekend, and she told me they prominently put it right at the front door.
Right. And I got it. Look, Mindy, I don't want to keep pushing my book, but I'll tell you, we have a desperate fight in our hands. The comedian beat me. The old Democrat hack from the Washington Post was number one and two, the comedian and the old hack. I'm number three. Now, had that book come out on Monday, I would have been number one. And had there been enough books in the stores, I clearly would have been number one. But everyone listening, if you intend to buy the book for Christmas or before the election, I need you to go out and buy it this weekend. The numbers will be out again on Tuesday. I got to become number one. Why? You think it's going to change my lifestyle whether I'm three or one? No. What if every list in the country, number one, was trickle-up poverty, stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security? You could vote with your pocketbook, buy one book, buy this book, period. You know, I have a contractor fixing something for me. You know what he told me today? I didn't even know it. He said he went to buy 50 copies. He's going to an injured soldiers convention in San Diego, and he wants to give out 50 free copies. He said he went to Amazon. He said he was prohibited from buying more than three copies. It doesn't let you order more than three copies. He went to my website and bought 50. I'm actually sorry he did. I didn't want him to do it. I would have, you know, arranged some kind of special price for him. He bought 50 copies out of his own pocket to give away to 50 soldiers. Would you believe it?
That's wonderful.
I'm sending you a free copy, Mindy. I shouldn't talk so much. I'm trying to relax, you know? I'm trying to relax because I'm going away for the first vacation I've had in I think, forever. Tomorrow, I'm going to go up to Lake Tahoe. I haven't been there in years and years and years. Frankly, I'm daydreaming. All I'm doing is going on the internet and going to the hotel and going on the video tour. You know how it is. You're in the room with the fireplace on the video. You know, it's never like that. You get in there right away, there's no, I'm going to try to overlook. I can't help it. I'm a fantasist. I believe in an America that doesn't exist. I believe in a self that doesn't exist. I believe in a hotel that doesn't exist. I don't believe in Santa Claus, though, I'll tell you the truth. But you go on the video, too. Don't you do that? Isn't that part of being a human being is to dream, perchance to dream, right? Isn't that what it's all about? Don't you have to have dreams? You're going to go up. You're going to get in the room. You're going to look at the stone fireplace and say, isn't that gorgeous? Then about 30 minutes later, the heart drops, the Weltschmerz clicks in when you're up there, and all of the old memories come flooding in, and the, you know, the time and the this, and then you say, why did I go away? Where's my family? You wanted something that is never on a vacation. What I would want on a vacation, if I'm going up to a mountain area, I'd like my father and my mother to be alive. I'd like all my relatives that I love to be alive waiting for me. In other words, I like it to be heaven. I'm not ready to go. Sorry, I didn't want God to hear that one. My idea of vacation, if I'm going to the mountains, would be a family reunion with all of the deceased. Where am I going to get that but in a dream? So therefore, I'm perennially disappointed. I'm just telling you, you know, like one from the heart. What can I tell you? So in advance already, I gave a kibosh on it in advance. I'm trying not to. The van is loaded. The water is already in the cooler in the van. You know how you hang already the clothes in the van. One night already, I packed like I'm going for a year. I'm an overpacker. I don't know about you. I don't know why. I mean, three jackets, five. What do I need all this clothing for? You take a look at the slobs in the gambling casinos. They look like they just came out of a bug house, half of them. I don't know how they let them in. They figure if they're smart, why do they care what they look like? As long as they throw their money away. I myself don't gamble. I don't know what it is. I think I went through the phase when I was 11. Not a $20 bill I'll throw into a casino. No, I mean, Sharon Angle is right, to be honest with you. Go to Las Vegas. Do what you want. Throw away your salary. Good luck to you. But I don't gamble myself. I went through the phase when I was 11. I went through a really heavy gambling phase. It has something. It's to do with adolescence and a sexuality thing I read once. you don't know who you become a gambler instead of your sexual pride because you're 11. You should get over it, though, by the time you're 13. Some don't. So anyway, I don't gamble. I don't get a kick out of it. Some I know people who are so hooked on it, it's beyond belief. I don't know the excitement of losing your life. I don't get it. But then again, different strokes for different folks. I had a roulette wheel. I got so involved with gambling when I was 11. I went and bought a roulette wheel for my house in Queens, a little one. I became the guy who owned the casino. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you always have to work, right? I figure if I'm going to enjoy gambling, I may as well get the green felt and the wheel. It was so beautiful. I bought it on 42nd Street in an arcade. It was like illegal or something. But there was something phenomenal about spinning the wheel. All right, put your bets, 10 cents, a nickel, the guys would bet. Five guys from junior high school on a little roulette wheel. I swear to God, I really got into it. And I don't know how I got out of it. Nothing bad happened. But I do remember this. I'm just reminiscing. Pardon me. Let me blow off some steam. It's a Friday. I remember once I lost all my money in a card game. I was 11 and a half, 12. And I didn't know what to do. I lost my allowance. I don't know what to. So I took a job. I went into the local luncheonette up on 169th Street, Utopia Union Turnpike. And I asked the guys, I said, could I wash dishes? All right, kid, come on, give me the apron. I worked and worked. I worked my butt off. They were nice guys. They understood. I said, my father will get mad at me. So I'm washing dishes. It must be 10 o'clock at night. My arms are in the greasy water. In walks my father, 11 o'clock, white. He had called the police. He didn't know where I was. He thought, like, God forbid something happened. The minute he saw me there, he understood it immediately. He didn't say one word to me. No anger, no nothing. He saw that I went to work. That's what I'm talking about, the work ethic. The work ethic, something Obama doesn't know about, since by his own admission, he said we never did anything but push papers. Okay? That's the story. Everyone tells you they're working class. Yeah, they all grew up in trailers. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The band played on. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Yeah. Captain Hornblower is driving us into the biggest iceberg America has ever faced. And all of his officers have jumped ship. The only people left in the White House are the junior officers. And we're on the poop deck playing rock and roll in the Savage Nation, hoping that we can stop them in time. You know, it's only 2 weeks from Tuesday as to whether or not America will be saved. I don't know, think you understand that. Many of you say, it's nothing. Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm not a big fan of the K Street Republicans, but I'm going to tell you, I came up with something this week that I think no one else has come up with yet, and I think it makes perfectly good sense. So please listen to me and tell me what you think. I said to you that we have to vote for any Republican over any Democrat for one reason. Since the press, the fifth column, is very hard on Republicans and very soft on Democrats, the Republicans will be held to a much higher standard by the communists in the newspaper business and in the electronic media than would any Democrat. And therefore, I'm going to vote for any Republican. I'm sure I'd rather have a conservative. So there it is. I made my decision. And nobody has come up with that but me, why I'm going to vote Republican across the board. Across the board, you've got to throw them out. You got to say to them, no to socialism. You say, this is America's first love affair with an outright Marxist. Now, many of you didn't know it. You didn't believe us. You said we're right-wingers, but you didn't understand it. But now you maybe know what he is and his minions and his Marxists and his czars, right? But you still may not know it. I'm trying to spread the word before it's too late. I'm asking you to take trickle-up poverty into the polling booth with you. I want them to say you can't bring it into the polling booth. I want the poll watchers to say you can bring in a liberal book by a comedian, but you can't bring in trickle-up poverty. I want the lawsuits to flow. I want to see 10,000 lawsuits the day after Election Day. I want to see armies of conservative lawyers say, you permitted the Communist Manifesto in there? Or a comedian's book that blasts America in there, but you wouldn't let trickle-up poverty? I'm sorry. Let's take it to a court. Now, hike in premiums in Connecticut. Up to 47 to 49% raise in premiums. Did you hear this? State has given an Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield a go-ahead to raise premiums by as much as 47% for some members, and they say health care reform is the reason why. Duh! Oh, you didn't understand that? They say that costs have risen because of health care legislation. Shall I spell it out for you? Well, let's see if you can figure it out. You want to try to figure it out together? Or is the extent of your education limited? You don't get it yet? Well, let's start with this. Costs for health insurance is going up because costs for insurance companies have risen because they're now mandated to provide coverage for students to age 26. Students, you hear? A 26-year-old drug addict in the house or a sex maniac goes out to a club all night long and comes home and lays in the bed and goes on the internet and Twitters in the morning and she says she's looking for a career. You hear this? And to top it off, the companies can no longer deny coverage to anyone for pre-existing conditions. How do you like that one? So you have a car wreck, let's say. You've been in one collision after another all your life. You're a drunk driver, but you want insurance now. Now, what insurer on earth would give you insurance if you're a drunk driver and you're just in a head-on collision? Nobody. But Nancy Pelosi now said, you putz. That's why your premium is going up. You're getting what you deserved. I, in my book, yes, I'm going to bring it back to the book because I have a little time to do this. The election's 2 weeks away from Tuesday. I have not yet focused on the Obamacare chapter. By the way, this book was dedicated to all of the men who gave their lives that we may have the freedom to write and read as we please. I hope you saw the dedication. This is dedicated to all of the men who gave their lives that we may have the freedom to write and read as we please. I hope you got that, Nancy. In the chapter, here's a headline, A Bad Prescription for America. We know about the expansion of the IRS. We know that. But one of those programs that you don't know about that Obama snuck in there is the most worrisome. It could be the private army that he wanted during the campaign that was quickly hushed up. Guys, do you have the private army speech?
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Do you have any idea what he just said? He wants his own SA. He wants his own brown shirts. He wants his men appointed by him who are armed to control us. Don't you understand who the man is? We try to warn you. I said to you, this is fascism, but you didn't listen to me. You let the vermin in the media castigate me, not him. You let the vermin in the media tell you I was the bad guy, not him. You let the vermin in the media let him get away with that one. A bad prescription for America. So let me read it to you. Okay. One of those programs that he is doing, page 119, is beefing up the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps. Most people have never heard of the Commissioned Corps, which has been around for years. The government describes the Corps as an elite team of more than 6,000 full-time, well-trained, highly qualified public health professionals dedicated to delivering the nation's public health promotion. Okay? So I ask this question. Obamacare expands the existing Commissioned Corps with the creation of a Ready Reserve Corps to be mobilized for service in time of national emergency. I ask, who's to say what qualifies as a national emergency? Answer, the president. The bill does not specify that detail, so draw your own conclusions. What's more, Fidel Obama has set himself up as the one who handpicks the officers of this Ready Reserve Corps. This is unbelievable. Section 2033 of H.R. 3590 states this. Commissioned officers of the Ready Reserve Corps shall be appointed by the president. Emphasis added. It's on page 120 of my book. It gets worse. And this new arm of the government includes warrant officers, and Section 203 goes on to state that members of the Ready Reserve Corps must be, quote, available and ready for involuntary calls to active duty during national emergencies and public health crises. You might want to read that again. President Obama appoints officers for this new Ready Reserve Corps, whose membership may be involuntarily called into duty for a yet-to-be-defined so-called national emergency. Now, to be redundant, we already have the military, the FBI, the Secret Service, state troopers, and county and local police. What is Obama doing with a Ready Reserve Corps? What is it really about? Let's connect the dots. Page 120 of Trickle Up Poverty. As I documented in Chapter 1, on July 2, 2008, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, then-presidential wannabe Obama said something alarming, which was completely ignored by most of the major media. He proclaimed, play it again, Sam. Play
it. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
I'm chilled to my bone when I read this to you, because you think it's all a joke. You think that this is just about selling a book or getting ratings. You don't even understand what you're living through. You're living through a communist takeover of the United States of America. I'm going to read the rest of this paragraph. I must ask the difficult question. Is the formation of a Ready Reserve Corps the first step in the establishment of Obama's private national security force? It certainly appears as though Obama laid the groundwork for his version of the brown shirts. Where's the outcry from the civil libertarians? Why does the ACLU remain silent? I thought they opposed layers of government regulations and bureaucracy meddling in our personal affairs. Okay? Maybe the ACLU is too busy calling on the president to grant the 911 terrorist civilian trials rather than more appropriately face a military commission. The silence on this potential threat is deafening. That's under the Obamacare chapter, what's really in the bill, in trickle-up poverty. Next is Obama's death panel from hell, which I warned you about. You didn't believe me. It turns out there are death panels. Everything we told you, everything we warned you about during the campaign that you were hoodwinked into believing was just the rhetoric of right-wingers is 100% true. So let me boil it down for you in dollars and cents, all you good liberals who are still sarcastic and cynical about what I'm telling you. The premiums for Blue Shield and Blue Cross will go up 47 to 49% in Connecticut. Have a nice day. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere.
All right, so I gave you an insight. Many of you are saying, oh, don't listen to the right-wingers. They're just hateful and angry. They don't really know the facts. They're not like us liberals. Well, I just read you some facts about Obamacare and what's in the bill. Why don't you put it in their face and make them choke on it? New York, WOR. John, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's my honor to speak with you. I just want to let you know that I'd be honored to carry your book into the polling place next Tuesday. They have never once asked me for ID in all the years I've been going there. There are a bunch of sleepy characters just sitting there. I'd be honored.
Oh, no. I once tried to show ID, and the old ladies in white sneakers said, oh, no, we can't look at that. I said, why the hell not? Why the hell not? How do you know if I'm even a citizen? Why won't you look at my license? The answer is because that's how Boxer gets elected with illegal aliens for years.
It's laughable. It is so laughable. The other point is I want to make a copy of your 37 points and put a copy on our refrigerator at work, our ultra-liberal office, and stick it right under the Obama.
Now, here's the question. I don't know if it's legal to bring a political book into a polling place, but I'd like to know if you can. I'd like to see if you have the nerve to do it, number one, and carry it so that the outside of the cover shows. You understand?
Michael, I understand exactly.
But here's my advice. Everyone who's going to dare do that and have the guts to do it and be a maverick and have the guts to bring it in, bring a plain brown wrapper with you, big enough to cover it, so that when the poller says, I'm sorry, you can't bring that in, take out the plain brown wrapper and wrap up the book the way pornography used to be wrapped up in America, because apparently the truth is more dangerous than the filth that the liberals have been pumping into everyone's home.
I will be happy to do it, and I'll report back to you after that day.
I'm sending you a free copy of I think I'm going to start sending out plain brown wrappers now instead. I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty with no wrapper. Get some craft paper. I'm serious. Carry it in your pocket so that when the little old liberal lady, the troublemakers from the League of Women Communist Voters, says to you, oh, my, you're not allowed to carry a political book in here. Well, you can do a couple of things. You can say, why not? You can cover the book. You can ask her why they permit people from Mexico to vote without IDs. You can ask a lot of questions of them. And you can get arrested if you want. You really want to challenge it. Or you can do it easily. And you could just cover the book up with plain brown paper. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm suggesting you consider it. That's all. Let's go to Hawaii, where I'm live every day. Jane, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I tried to buy Trickle Up Poverty at a Borders bookstore, and they have two entrances. There weren't books at either one. I looked around for it, couldn't find it.
Right.
The computer said it was in stock, but I couldn't find it on the shelves, so I asked a clerk about it.
Oh.
He looked at me, and he didn't say anything, and he walked off towards the back of the store. I thought he was going to go get one, and I waited like 20 minutes, and he never came back.
Okay, I suggest that you email or call the head of the Borders chain, tell him what he did, and give his name. I think he should be forced to take a job somewhere else other than in a bookstore. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. What a disgrace that the liberals can't even face an argument that they have to hide my book. Look, that's why it's number three. It came out on Tuesday, weren't enough printed, and the clerks are hiding them. Period, end of story. Oh, the comedian's book is practically given away. Here's my horoscope. Being the go-getting Aries you are, you may be tempted to make a hurried decision, but deep down you know it needs to be dealt with slowly and deliberately. What's the rush? Time is not a factor, at least not today. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what it means. Truthfully, I have no idea. Okay, let's take some open mic to mic calls on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the once great city of Portland, Oregon, but all the ore is gone. Brian in Oregon, what's on your mind?
Boy, what an honor. Boy, that's the truth. Went into Borders, completely sold out within 48 hours.
In Portland. Well, no, because there's a huge audience in Portland because the real Oregonians have been outnumbered by the refugees from California who have polluted the entire city.
Can say that again. I'm a native, Mike.
Oh.
I'm 47. You couldn't believe what's happened here.
Well, I used to love Portland. I remember when I first started writing books and going on book tours. I'm talking 1972. One of my favorite stops of these 10-city tours was Portland. I'd stay on the river. There was an old hotel. What was the name of it in Portland that had, like, the real old flavor to it? Do you remember? It may be gone by now.
Jack London Hotel?
I don't know, but I really loved it. I just liked the ambience by the river and the feeling of the streets. You can still almost feel the old-timers ghost walking around. And then slowly but surely, all of the left-wingers who had polluted and destroyed San Francisco went up there in the 70s in their old B1 Volvos, and they destroyed your city with liberalism. Your streets are littered with homeless. You've got rampant drug dealing. You've got crime. You've got illegal aliens running wild in the streets. I know what happened there.
Yeah, it's just terrible. But yeah, it was 20 feet inside the door, top shelf. God, Mike, you remind me of my uncle, so it's such a honor to talk to you.
I am like an uncle. I'm a throwback. I admit it. I'm a remnant of America's past. But what can I do? I mean, I grew up in another time when America was great, when people were free to say what they wanted, and they could read what they wanted, and they could eat what they wanted. And they didn't have one government goon from a dumb Ivy League college after another telling them how to eat, breathe, and sleep. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Stay in the line, and ore is gone. I hope the truth isn't gone. I know the ore is.
Savage.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sitch joins us. Hello, Michael. Steve, it's an honor to be on your show on WOR. I know you're on before me, and I know the audience loyalty is phenomenal on WOR for your show and mine. And frankly, you know, the new book, which we're here to talk about, has done so great, and I think a large number of New Yorkers are responsible for it.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm honored to have you on the show. And you are in such a unique position, as you've alluded to on your show, which I listen to every afternoon when I drive home from here. And the book, of course, is Trickle Up Poverty. It debuts this week at number 3. It just came out on Drudge, number 3 on the bestsellers list. I know that's only 4 days' worth and not a full 5, so probably it's going to get even higher.
Absolutely. If you look at those numbers, they're within a few thousand copies of each other between mine and the number 1 and 2. My book was only 4 days on sale. Theirs came in on a roll from the week before. But, Steve, I'm not here to make an excuse.
No, but what I wanted to say...
No, they have major media behind
them. That's what I wanted to say to you, as you've alluded to and as is so true. You are banned. You're not only banned in Britain, Michael. You're banned in the media in this
right.
country, and you're doing this all through your own show. It's your show that's selling the book, not any help from hardly any other show.
Correct. These other authors are on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, day and night. This is a bigger story in the sense that forget my being banned. We know that's an issue. It proves, Steve, to me that talk radio is not only very much alive and well, despite the prognostications that it's dead. I said this yesterday on my show, Steve, which is that, oh, everyone's saying talk radio's for old men, it's dead. The new thing is the internet and TV and cable. BS. This proves, Steve, that talk radio is still king in terms of influence, ideas, and sales of books. Otherwise, how would this have happened, Stephen? I mean, this is how it happened. It happened from radio only. This is one of the best experiments the radio industry could ever have. And you know what's bothering me, Steve? The radio industry itself doesn't even recognize what just happened.
No, well, they're foolish not to tout it as a huge ringing endorsement of talk radio and certainly of Michael Savage. You know, it's interesting on your website, and you've talked about this, the dream and the message, and you talk about the dream, and you say you know why you were put on the air, and you've talked a lot about your relationship with God, and I find that to be very very important. You know, our show ends right before you come on every night with a 5-second moment of silent prayer, something I used to do at another show. For
is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Every
you
night.
You have a large religious listenership.
We have a large religious listenership that's denominational, non-denominational, sectarian, non-sectarian. I mean, everybody. I get emails from people who say, I never prayed, but I close my eyes for the 5 seconds and I say a prayer. People who say, my husband and I used to listen to you. He passed away from cancer. He never prayed, but during that time, we listened to you and we closed our eyes and we prayed. I mean, it's just an amazing reaction that I've gotten from all people of all faiths.
Well, I had that dream about the book. I had the dream I was put on the earth. The dream is on michaelsavage.com, so I don't want to repeat it, but it was like a startling revelation, Steve, that I was – should I tell your listeners what the dream was?
Absolutely.
I'm in a classroom, an adult classroom, and a middle-aged woman, nice teacher, not mean, nice, is teaching about the wonders of Mao Zedong, the butcher of China. And she's going on and on about how he dug tunnels and how he dug caves and how he built roads. And how he marched an army across all of China, and what a miracle worker he was. And then a man gets up, a middle-aged, respectable man, and starts clapping and saying, yes, he was wonderful. I jump up and scream, no, you're wrong. He killed 60 million of his fellow Chinese. He was a butcher. He was the Chinese Hitler, which, of course, is true. Anyone who knows history knows that. Ask the educated Chinese about that. So they try to shout me down, and she says, you can't say that in my classroom. And I shouted her, if you don't know what Mao Zedong did, you have no right to be a teacher. End of dream. I wake up, and I say this was a revelation to me to warn America and warn the whole world about where Obama is taking us. Yes, I am saying it again, Steve. Obama himself may not be a mean, vicious man, but he is surrounded by Maoists and Marxists of every stripe. They're called czars. There was no governmental oversight in the appointments of these people. They bypass the checks and balances of this wonderful country. The man is a petty dictator, and he must be stopped. and trickle-up poverty was written specifically to alert America to, A, what the man has done to our borders, language, economy, and security, and, B, what he hopes to do based upon speeches and policy statements that I include in this incredible document. That's why it's a bestseller, Steve. It's not because my picture shows such a handsome man.
We're talking to Michael Savage, and the book is Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. And, you know, anybody who listens to you, anybody who knows you, I don't have to sell the book. They know that it's a must read. But, you know, I just had Ted Rawl on the show, the left-wing cartoonist who writes, you see his cartoons in the L.A. Times and all over the place. And he's got something out now, and he's calling for, and he admitted this to me, an overthrow of the American government. And yes, violence will be a part of that because that's an inevitable part of it. How many people will die? He doesn't know. And I said to him,
that's what he's calling for?
Absolutely.
Openly?
And I said to him, can you imagine if I said that? Would I be working tomorrow? I mean, my God.
Is he getting national exposure for it? Is he appearing on all of the jerk shows?
Well, I don't. He's got a big book. He's in all these cities on a million tours. And
it's beyond belief that anybody would even publish such a dangerous proposition.
And it's beyond belief that he keeps having his cartoons appear in newspapers in this country calling for a violent overthrow of the government.
I know what I'm talking about. I know who these people are. I went through the 60s with them. They're outright murderers. They're mass murderers. You unleash their faces from behind the masks and you'll see the death squads all over again. I don't care what they call themselves. They're murderers in the making, and they got to be stopped. This is no joke. I know who they are, Steve. This is a national emergency.
I know. I have an 11-year-old son. You have adult grown children. I am frightened to death. This president and these people in power now see his future as A, working in a battery factory, B, working in a solar panel factory, or C, working in a windmill factory. And the big question will be, hey, what's your kid going to do? The solar factory, the windmills, or make the batteries? That's going to be the choices for our kids.
By the way, you forget that they could also become tattoo artists or open a porno website under the Obama Future Industries proposal.
Listen, I know this is a national audience we're talking to now, but we're on our flagship WOR where you follow me every night at 6. You are New York. And that is one of the charms and the great things about you that I find listening. I grew up in Brooklyn. I lived there my whole life until 10 years ago when my son was born. And you are New York. And that's one of the things I love about you.
It's funny you should say it. You know, the old joke, you can take the boy out of the Bronx, but you can't take the Bronx out of the boy.
And I have Marty, my little Bichon, like you have Teddy.
He's my pride and joy. He's the RCA Victor dog.
I know.
My feet during the radio show, and if someone, like an engineer, comes, if there's a glitch and they try to go to the computer, he bites their finger.
That's funny. Hey, Michael, listen. To number one, baby, to number one for many, many, many months. And God bless you for what you do. And shame on everybody else. Shame on everybody else in this media.
Impoverishing the middle class, defunding the military, erasing our border, lining the pockets of his Wall Street buddies, propagandizing the media. It's all in trickle-up poverty. It's a must-read before this election, Steve. It's a clarion call, and I thank you for having me on WOR.
Savage.
Special interests align with the Republican Party all across the country, and they are now spending millions of dollars all across the country against Democratic candidates, running tremendously negative ads. And the worst part about it is we don't know exactly who these groups are. You now have a situation in which special interests can get millions of dollars in contributions from some of the wealthiest, most powerful interests in the country. They don't have to disclose who they are. They can spend without limit in these races. And so a lot of our candidates are getting swamped.
All right, let's stop right here. It makes me sick to think that he doesn't know that you know he's a liar. This is how he got elected, through nefarious special interests. People you never heard of backed this man. And he has the audacity to get up there and say that the Republicans are getting money from special interests like he's Mr. Innocent. Just Mr. Innocent who came along out of nowhere and became president. It's unbelievable how naive you really are. Anyway, look, I can only make so many points in one day. And the rest is going to be up to you. 2 weeks from Tuesday, we'll see what happens. If this man is not stopped in his tracks, if 50 to 100 seats don't change, his agenda will steamroll you into eternity. It's as simple as that. Blue Cross, Blue Shield to go up to 47, 49% up in Connecticut. That's just the beginning. Wait till all the illegals bring their families in for more medical care. I never saw anything like the naivety of you liberals. Who do you think was going to pay for it? Me? You're going to pay for it too. Okay, let's go to the callers. Las Vegas, D, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, hello. The marvelous Dr. Dissident. Just love you, Michael, and all your stories. In fact, I'm the family storyteller, and I take after my Uncle Yakov as my
Uncle Dissident. Yes, Dr. Dissident here. So what's going on today?
First of all, I just on a happy note, please enjoy your weekend in Tahoe, and I hope you enjoy the abalone out there. We've been listening to you since around 1999 on our road trips to LV from back east, and now we live here, and we love it.
Well, where do you get abalone in Lake Tahoe? I thought abalone only grows in the west, is in the waters on the west coast. What do you mean, abalone in the lake?
No, at Harvey's.
Oh. No, I'm going to Incline in North Tahoe. I like Nevada, the Nevada side. I go over the border. And I like Incline. I don't like I really don't go to South Lake Tahoe, truthfully. If I want that, I go to Reno. Let's put it to you that way. So what's on your mind, Dee? What happened?
I've been trying to get your book and went to Walmart last weekend. The manager never heard of it, but he was kind enough to take down my name and number and said he'll call me back, but he hasn't done that yet. So today I went to Target, and they said, I said, oh, it looks like you have the book there, but where is it? Oh, no, we don't have any more copies. And he looked and he said, oh, we can't even order it because it's an discontinued item. I said,
tell that to my publisher, because they were just out here and had breakfast with me. The book is not discontinued, I assure you. But I hope that the clerk is discontinued, because I reported it already continued instead of my book.
Nice. It was a young kid, you know.
So. Yeah, real very nice. Well, he'll be looking for a job in a car wash. Maybe he can compete with an illegal alien and see what that's like. Stay in the line, sending you a free copy for your Uncle Yakov of Trickle Up Poverty. Chicago, Jeannie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to let you know, we spoke before. I was a Hispanic girl that basically said it's going to be working at the election as a Republican judge. I will be going to my training next Friday, and I will bring my Trickle Out Poverty book to show off in front of everybody at the class. And
what class is this? What type of class?
It's for a judge. I'm going to become a Republican judge.
Oh. Well, that's going to be an interesting debate as to whether people can bring a book into a polling place. Because if they ban my book, ask them which books are not banned.
Yes, I will, and I will definitely call back and let you know what happened. And
I can't wait to hear this. This is exciting. Jeannie, I'm going to send you another copy so you have one in each hand. And, of course, when they steal it from you, when they seize it as a banned book, you'll still have another one in your car for the actual day of the election. Stay on the line. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Arizona, the land of the illegal alien. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Fred?
Dr. Savage, a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for waking up America, really. America, you're doing a hell of a job.
I am, but Paul Revere gets tired once in a while.
Yeah, no, even the Democrats are sick and tired of this fraud. I am so tired of him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a boat and go to Cuba if the November election is
You're going to become a boat person looking for asylum in Cuba. You know, everything that Obama's introducing, Fidel is dumping, because it didn't work there after the 43 years.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my little story, I went to Costco in Phoenix, and they only had three books scattered around all the other big high piles, right? So I beefed to the one person first, and then they didn't do their job. So on the way out the checkout, I got the manager, and I'm screaming at this guy. He says,
"Good,
man, calm down. I love that guy. I listen to him every day. I'll take care of it.
Oh, the manager said that, so it's the clerks that are doing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, it just happened that the manager, you know, was a conservative. But I mean,
oh, my. Well, don't tell us the name of the store. I don't want him to lose his job. Fred, I'm sending you another copy of Tup, okay? Dallas, Jason, on the issue of the rules of engagement, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Savage. I was going through your book, got it on Amazon, no horror stories. looking at the rules of engagement as a former Marine, you know, I look at these and I look at how are these items are the same, almost related to how police officers have to do their jobs in the street.
Well, that's exactly right. And what happened here is the military, which was set up not to be a police force, but an army of people who go out and kill the enemy, not cajole the enemy, have now been turned into world policemen under Obama. But it started under Bush. Look, you know that I'm very emotional about this issue. Whenever I saw Marines called up on courts martial, I raised money, I sent money. You know that. You know where I stand on this. But I don't know how you guys actually do your job over there. I still don't know how you do it with these rules of engagement.
I tell you, it's almost as if we're being dictated by the same people who taught their children not to hit back when they were in school. And
can you believe this? The same ninnies who say you can't play tag in a schoolyard are dictating Marines' policies for rules of engagement? Well, there's another thing. Let me ask you something as a police officer. Do departments give a bonus in qualifications for returning combat vets? In other words, if a police department's hiring, would they give a returning combat vet a step up in the hiring is what I want to know.
I know on the civil service exams they do give you bonus points. I'm not a police officer. I'm a former Marine, and I did try to go down that path before picking another line of work, and I was given...
Oh, yeah, because in California, if you can speak English too well, and you're over 6 foot tall and you're a white male, you need not apply either to the CHP or to local police. If you're under 5 feet tall and English is a second language and you can prove that you hate America, you go right to the head of the class in San Francisco.
Unbelievable.
I'm being sarcastic. You take a look at the hiring policies of the lunatics in this city. You're never going to believe it. And look at the fire departments. They hire women who can't lift the hose to become captains.
I hear you. I relocated from San Francisco last year, and right outside of the mall there, I saw a police officer doing his job a little too well there. Apprehended a thief who was running outside of the San Francisco mall right there on Market Street, running over to Powell Street.
And what happened? They arrested the cop? They arrested the cop. The crowd started to jeer him?
A gentleman there with a dog who kept agitating the police officer. The police officer, I was surprised, a San Francisco police officer actually pulled his firearm on the animal and told the owner to get his dog out of there.
Terrific. It's a city that's upside down under Gavin Newsom. I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Anyone who gets on the show today wins a free copy. It's a beautiful day. And what can I say to you? It's the end of a long, hard week, but we got two harder weeks coming up. Are you ready for the battle? I want to ask you something. Are you ready for the battle coming up beginning on Monday? Are you ready for the battle? I want to hear you scream yes. Are you ready to go out as an army of savages and savagettes? I want to hear you scream yes. Are you ready to go out there and demand your place in the sun? Are you ready to vote? Are you ready to tell people what's going on? Then you're my people. We've got 2 weeks left to save the country. It comes down to the wire. Either you throw the Democrats out, you replace them with any Republican. Sure, I'd rather have a third-party candidate. Take what you can get.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
little darling. Oh, 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 you are a little darling. Oh, oh, well. How are you?
2 weeks from this Tuesday, we're going to find out whether or not Obama's agenda is going to be derailed. You know, I mean, either you go to the polls and you vote them out, or don't complain about it. You know, when your children wind up enslaved by socialism and taxes that they can't pay. It's that simple. The fact of the matter is that Obama has to be stopped, not only on the economic level, not only on Obamacare, on the immigration front, on national security front, you name it. Everything he's doing is a disaster for America. A new story just came out. A plea deal could let a Gitmo terrorist who killed a U.S. soldier out of prison after just 8 years. Support for Afghanistan war at all-time low. Obama and Condoleezza Rice now are huddling at the White House. I gee wonder what that's about. Obama's half-brother, age 52, married a teenage girl. Unbelievable. First lady campaign inside a polling place, and they shrugged it off. Soldier testifies he was ordered to delete a Fort Hood video. You hear this? What does that mean? Did you hear about the Fort Hood massacre cover-up by the U.S. Army? Well, you hear about it on the Savage Nation. A soldier who was there and who hid during the shooting, meaning laid on the floor while a guy was killing people around him, made a video recording of the shooting with his cell phone. Immediately after the massacre by the Muslim soldier Nidal Hassan, the soldier was ordered to erase the video on his cell phone by his officer. The army is clearly covering up this Muslim mass murderer at Fort Hood. How do we know this? Because this whole story was buried in a story which bears the headline, Fort Hood shooting hearing winds up for the week. No mention of who the shooter was. No mention of what religion the shooter followed. No mention of the cover-up by the army. On a Friday afternoon, this complete distortion of the story makes the media complicit in this massacre at Fort Hood. The soldier who was ordered to destroy the video he had taken in the massacre was identified as Private First Class Lance Aviles. Yet the officer who ordered him to erase the video was not identified. Why do you suppose that that key piece of information has been omitted? Why does the Army refuse to report what was on the videos that the soldiers didn't want anyone to see? Why would an officer have a key piece of evidence in a mass murder trial destroyed? Why did they omit this key piece of information? Why did they refuse to report what was on the video that the soldier took? Why would an officer have a key piece of evidence in a mass murder trial destroyed? Is the officer who did this still in the Army? Is he still eating away at the military from within? These questions must be answered, but they won't be. Now, keep in mind that the initial report on this massacre did not mention the words Muslim, Islam, or Jihad once. In spite of the fact that this act was perpetrated by an individual who apparently had business cards reading Soldier of Allah printed on them, in spite of the fact that he had emailed known Muslim terrorists, in spite of the fact that soldiers testified that Hassan shouted Allahu Akbar as he killed a dozen soldiers at Fort Hood, the entire investigation of this massacre by the U.S. Army has been a massive cover-up from the beginning. It's a disgrace, and it's happening under Obama. And you ask yourself why I wrote Trickle Up Poverty when I say to stop his meltdown of our national security, you need to ask no more. There was a debate between Senator Harry Reid and the woman running against him for Senate seat, Sharon Angle. Let's listen in.
Growing up in Searchlight, I had some interesting times. My dad was a big man, much bigger than I am. Broad shoulders, weightlifter arms, even though he never lifted any weights. But times were tough. The mines weren't doing well at all.
Times are so tough. I guess you couldn't afford shoes either, country boy, huh?
Checks bounced. My mom took in wash from the brothels in Searchlight. So I have some idea what it's like to struggle.
This is Harry trying to make us realize he's just a simple country boy from Nevada. But here's Angle's response.
I'm not a career politician. I'm a mother and a grandmother. I was a teacher for 25 years. Senator Reid has been a politician for over 30 years. I live in a middle-class neighborhood in Reno, Nevada. Senator Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C.
She says he lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington. Well, yet Harry Reid said he's just one of the regular people. I guess in Washington, the Ritz-Carlton is for regular people.
I'm frustrated like everyone else is frustrated.
You can't be as frustrated as the rest
of
us.
I believe we have to look at the issue and do comprehensive immigration reform. We cannot ignore it. And that's the reason that we have to do something about the people that are here that are undocumented.
That means give them all
taxes,
a free pass.
Pay penalties, fines. And, of course, by doing that, we will be able to not demagogue the issue, do something about it. We have to work together on the issue.
But Engel's got it right.
What we have here is an illegal alien problem, and the solution is simple. Secure the borders, enforce the laws.
Exactly.
I think every state should have a sheriff like Joe Arpaio, and we should be supporting Arizona instead
Arizona. The recording. This is what I've been telling you. Secure the border and enforce the laws and support Arizona. Now, here's Obama on tribal relations.
Historically, when you look at how America has evolved, typically, we make progress on race relations in fits and starts.
Race relations.
And we make some progress and then
have been set back with him in office.
Maybe some slippage. Oftentimes, misunderstandings and antagonism surfaces most strongly when economic times are tough. And that's not surprising.
But if there's a 10% unemployment rate, that certainly doesn't help.
You know, if everybody's working and feeling good and making money and buying a new house and a big screen TV, you're less worried about what other folks are doing. And when you're out of work and you can't buy a home or you've lost your home and you're worried about paying your bills, then you become more worried about what other folks are doing. And sometimes that organizes itself around kind of a tribal attitude.
Well, hold it right there.
And
tribal attitudes? Give me something to work with, people. Race again? Again he talks about race? As we get closer and closer to the elections, it seems Obama is going back to form and trying to stir up racial enmity in America. What happened? When did we lose our manufacturing ability? Well, we didn't lose it. Bill Clinton shipped factories overseas because of the immense trade that began under his administration with China. If you remember, I remember the whole sequence. The Chinese were coming in and buying up whole factories out of the Northeast, out of the Midwest, and they were shipping entire factories to China. And then they were hiring people for God knows what, you know, pennies on a dollar per hour to run our factories that were sold to them. And we lost our manufacturing base. And so, therefore, I say to you, it doesn't mean we've lost it forever. There's no reason with the American worker. And I, by the way, had a brother-in-law. He died last year. God rest his soul. He was a beautiful man, but he studied these things. He said that the American worker at the time was the most productive worker on earth. Did you know that? I mean, you could know that. Maybe you don't know that. You hear such bad things about America. You know, I want to wake up to a president that makes me proud to have an American passport. I want to live in a country, forgive me, where I can go around the world and have pride in my American passport again. I don't want to have to apologize because I have a president who presents himself as like some second-rate deadbeat to most of the world. I'm sick of it. I want to present my American passport the way I did when I was young. I want to have pride in the country again. That's what I try to achieve with my radio show every day. I love this country. I don't care what the detractors say. It doesn't mean a damn to me. I love this country. I have since I've been a Boy Scout. It's astonishing to me how many haters there are out there. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
MichaelSavage.com. Nancy Pelosi says she has no time to debate her Republican opponent because time is money. You hear this? This is unbelievable. This is astounding. Just unbelievable. There was a debate between Harry Reid and Angela. They disagreed on everything. Yeah, it's going on. It's going on. More reader reviews of Trickle Up Poverty from Amazon.com. This book should be required reading for all Americans. Michael Savage nails each issue one after the other, amazing detail and insight. While I enjoy all the conservative personalities, save one or two, I can always count on Savage to be the first and best voice. Did you ever wonder why the same politicians who preach clean energy and green energy, such as Pelosi, Obama, Barney Frank, and Al Gore, are the same ones who travel in private jets and huge SUVs? Then this book is the one for you. Michael Savage, what else needs to be said? If you have ever listened to him or read any of his books, you already know how much he cares about the USA. This is a great book, and I hope more people will read it. This is a wake-up call for America. I had a friend as a kid whose father was a professional gambler. It's an unusual lifestyle, I admit, and probably even more unusual from the milieu in which I grew up, but he was a professional gambler. I told you about this man several times. All the boys looked up to him because he was a genuinely a man's man. He was the toughest guy in the neighborhood. He was a fist fighter, a street fighter, a gentleman, as quiet as they came, never raised his voice to his children or to his wife, but a kind of genuinely strong, tough John Wayne type, who also happened to be a professional gambler. And as we grew up, he would take us aside. He'd lecture the boys. He'd give us speeches. Not lecture, really, but we kind of hung on his every word. And he would say to us, you know, guys, don't go to the racetrack. It's a fool's game. You don't understand. The whole thing is rigged. You can't win. And he would tell us, oh, because we were all getting into the racetrack. I remember to this. I don't even remember that phase of my life till this second. I used to go up to the Trotters, the Yonkers Raceway. What excitement. The money, the betting. In fact, it was all coming back to me now. The tickets on the floor. You talk about the tickets that exploded. But I loved it for a certain phase of my life. And then we got heavily into it. Even as college kids, we were all going up there. And he was telling us, don't go to the track. It's all rigged. You can't win. So is the stock market any different than a racetrack? I don't really know. Some can survive in it. Some can thrive in it. There was a day when you could get blue chip stocks, and you always made a percentage point every year, a few points, and you knew you were going to leave something for your children. Those days, I think, are largely over. The smart guys who manipulate the stocks will always know what to do, and until the end of the game when they don't know what to do. And then they'll be walking around with a barrel around their pants with suspenders selling pencils in the street, like happened during the Depression. You think it can't happen here? It has happened here. It could happen again. Right now, who knows how long the genies are going to be able to keep us from the inevitable coming to Jesus meeting that we're all going to have. Because right now, we all know that we're living on fake money, currency that has no value. Once we went off the gold standard, which, by the way, Richard Nixon did, incidentally, many of you don't know, Mr. Republican Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. That has to be written about at a certain point in order for you to understand them. When you say commie is socialist, that at a certain end of the day, you got to understand there's no difference between the Republican, the Democrat, the Republican. There's an economy, and then they have advisors, and then they have people who advise who put the advisors in power to begin with. And they want certain things done a certain way. And it's usually driven by bottom line considerations, as you well know. So if it means sending factories to Malaysia, then to China, that's what happened. It goes back to the 1970s. I was at that time living in Hawaii. I was going to graduate school. Early 70s. And I remember seeing Japanese tourists pouring into Honolulu. And the strangest thing was that they would all ride around on buses that they shipped over from Japan for the tourists to ride on. They wouldn't even ride on Greyhound buses or American-made buses. They shipped their own buses over to make sure that not a dollar from the Japanese tourists, as a few dollars possible, seeped into the American economy. So even though I was a young guy at the time, I said, this picture is wrong. It's our country. They lost the war. So I was thinking, if we had any leaders, they would put a crackdown on this. They would say, no, you can't ship your buses over. You're going to ride around in our tour buses in order to build up our economy. But that never happened. It got worse, far worse. Then you look around. I love to watch 1970s movies at night. One of the things I love about 1970s movies, especially movies set in Manhattan or in a city in America, I like seeing the streets. They're all American cars.
She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes. Giddy up, 409.
You ever watch this? Every car that you see in a 1970s movie is an American car, without exception. I mean, okay, you'll see one of Mercedes here and there. Every car, 99% of the cars, are American cars on the streets. Do you remember the early Clint Eastwood movies? Now, what happened to this country that few American cars are ever seen on the streets anymore? Who did this to us? How did this happen? Why is it not reversed? Why is there no tariff put on foreign cars? I've been asking this for 15 years. You say, well, if we put a tariff on Japanese-made products and cars, the worst thing might happen is we might have an industry back again. Can't have that. After all, the gangsters who make all of their money by screwing us might have to work for a living, you see? So you can't ask for a thing like that to put an actual tariff, for example, on a Japanese car or Chinese-made goods. You could slap a tariff on Chinese-made goods tomorrow. You could put a 20% tariff on everything that comes from China. A lot of things would happen immediately. You could say, well, it'd be counter. The free marketeers argue that tariffs are bad because once you start it, you start a trade war. And what happens is then the Chinese put tariffs on your goods, and before long, everyone suffers. That would be true if there was truly a free market economy. But it is no longer a free market economy. And so therefore, there's an argument to be made for protectionism. And in that regard, I say there's a good argument to be made for to put tariffs on Chinese goods and on other goods. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back. A disturbing story that is not being covered by the mainstream media is how the radical hate group, the Muslim Brotherhood, has declared war on the United States. Why isn't the media covering this? Because it doesn't fit into the religion of peace propaganda. They've been pushing on us for the last few years, this religion of peace propaganda, but joining us now to dispel this myth is Brigitte Gabriel.
Glad to be back with you, Michael. Well, as you said, very important news came out of the Middle East this week and went directly, completely unnoticed by the American media. And the reason is, I mean, here you have the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the largest Islamic terrorist organization and oldest Islamic organization in the world. The new supreme guide for the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohammed Beddi, issued a declaration calling for anti-American jihad and calling on members of the Muslim Brotherhood worldwide to launch a war against America and engage in violent jihad. It was amazing that here's an interview by such an important leader of the Muslim Brotherhood goes completely unnoticed in the Western media. But then again, this is exactly what we did, Michael, when Osama bin Laden back in 1996 issued a declaration of war on the United States, and America completely ignored him. They thought this guy, you know, that doesn't mean anything, he's not going to amount to anything, and they completely did not pay attention. 4 years later, Osama bin Laden attacked the World Trade Center in 2001 and brought it down.
Exactly.
So right now, when we look at the Muslim Brotherhood and this new supreme guide issuing such a declaration in Arabic to the Arabic streets, it makes us very concerned because we know that now they are calling on violent jihad, not just a cultural jihad where they usually go invade societies, but now they are calling to ratchet up their attacks into violent jihad, and this is very concerning to the intelligence community in the West.
Why should you think anything is going to change here? Why is that important?
The reason why we should be concerned about the Muslim Brotherhood is because, like I said a minute ago, the Muslim Brotherhood is the oldest Islamic terrorist organization in the world, founded in 1928 and has 70 offshoot Islamic organizations, including Al-Qaeda, including Hamas, including Lashkar-e-Taiba. Lashkar-e-Taiba was a terrorist group that was responsible for the bombing of Mumbai last year on Thanksgiving in India. The Al-Shabaab, the group right now in Somalia, the Muslim radicals who are hijacking ships in Somalia and perpetrating terrorist attacks, are also an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. I mentioned Al-Qaeda also. The second man of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, came out of the Muslim Brotherhood. He was one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt before he fled out. So this is why we are concerned, because in the West, while we focus on Al-Qaeda as our major problem, Al-Qaeda is nothing more than one branch of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Really?
The Muslim Brotherhood has more associates and more terrorists around the world in different countries, including countries in the West like the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, every single country in Europe. So when their new supreme leader issues a call to declare or to commit even individual jihad against targets in the West, but particularly against America, you must pay attention because of the large numbers of their members worldwide. And this is why it is very concerning.
What are their plans?
It's interesting that you mentioned the word their plan. In my book titled They Must Be Stopped, I dedicated chapter to the Muslim Brotherhood plan for North America. The Muslim Brotherhood Project is actually a document that we found written by the Muslim Brotherhood in 1982. It's a 100-year plan for radical Islam to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. In the counterterrorism circles, this document became known as the Project. What makes the Muslim Brotherhood Project very dangerous and very unique is that they give tactics and proposals to their members as to how to infiltrate the West, how to use our open-mindedness against us, how to use our legal system against us in order to advance Islam in the West. They talk about how to elect democratically elected Muslims on all levels in the West.
Well, like what?
NGOs, politics, government, nonprofit organizations. They talk about instituting interns, Muslim interns, in congressional offices in the West so they can work as the inside Muslim arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They talk about how to institute alliances with like-minded Western progressive organizations that share similar goal. This is why when we look at the ACLU, for example, Michael, working with CARE, you know, you scratch your head and you think to yourself, what does the ACLU have in common with CARE? I mean, the ACLU is a leftist organization. You know, they are pro-abortion, pro-gay rights, pro-this, that, and the other. CARE, an Islamic organization, is the total opposite.
Right, right, right. Why is that?
What CARE is doing is using basically the ACLU as the useful idiots in order to advance their goal of the Muslim Brotherhood in the West. They talk about how to build Islamic institutions like human rights organizations and civil rights organizations and maintain the appearance of moderation in order to advance the Muslim cause in the West. This is what is so concerning. Actually, the Muslim Brotherhood for North America, which was written later in 1991, discusses how to infiltrate the United States and what they're going to do in the United States. And they name 29 Islamic organizations as a front cover for the Muslim Brotherhood in America. And here they are. ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America. They own a lot of the mosques in the United States. Of course, you talk about them on your show a lot. The MSA, the Muslim Student Associations. The Muslim Student Association today has more chapters on American college campuses, Michael, than the Democrats and the Republicans combined.
Oh, my God.
NATE, the North American Islamic Trust. Of course, you see them sometimes, their representative interviewed on Fox and CNN. Of course, CARE. It started actually as AIP, the Islamic Association for Palestine, and later merged into CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. The IIIT, the International Institute for Islamic Thought. All these organizations are mentioned in the Muslim Brotherhood Project for North America. It was written in 1991 and actually represented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, which is the largest anti-terrorism trial, terrorism funding trial taken by our government against an Islamic charity in the United States, where 108 guilty verdicts were handed down. That's why we should be concerned about the Muslim Brotherhood.
What about reports that CARE has an Islamophobia department?
Correct. CARE right now just started an Islamophobia department, I guess, because they don't have much going on, and they have to keep an eye on you and me, Michael, and what we say. Because as you and I very well know, that CARE came out attacking both of us. So CARE right now is basically trying to silence people like you and me, people who are sounding the alarm, because CARE is finally realizing that enough people are waking up and paying attention. Now, let's consider where the source of this Islam, you know, anti-Islamophobia coming from. Let's give a little bit of the background about CARE. The Justice Department has identified CARE as a U.S. front group for Hamas, the terrorist organization. The Justice Department named CARE as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terrorism trial, which, like I mentioned, resulted in 108 guilty verdicts.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, The FBI, over a year ago, severed its official working relationship with CARE. Congressional members of both political parties have pointed out CARE's ties to the terrorist organization Hamas. Unfortunately, Michael, for years, CARE has been able to pull the wool over the eyes of the media and many in government, attacking anyone who dared criticize it, proclaiming itself a civil rights organization when it's really the propaganda arm for Hamas in the U.S. So is it any wonder why CARE right now is trying to launch this Islamophobia department, anti-Islamophobia, so they can come out attacking people like you and me and many others who are basically blowing the whistle on CARE and exposing them for who they are?
Where can we read more?
People who want to find out more of this type of valuable information, and even more importantly, how they can get involved in helping us stop these type of radicals from operating in America, I urge our listeners to go to actforamerica.org. Actforamerica.org. We are now the largest national security grassroots organization in the United States. I urge people to go, get involved, sign up to get our emails and action alerts. Sign the petition on our website to stop the mosque at Ground Zero. What we are doing, Michael, is basically trying to give a voice and empower the average American citizen who is completely fed up with this total political correct nonsense coming out of our government officials, our government out of Capitol Hill, our mainstream media. We just instituted a Cap Whiz program, which basically now enables citizens, when they read an action alert from us after they sign up to get our emails, be able to click a button and send a message or an email to their elected officials in Congress complaining about a certain issue that we are basically fighting for. So I encourage people to go to actforamerica.org to learn more about us and also get my books. My books are available, of course, on our website, actforamerica.org, and also on all bookstores nationwide, Barnes & Noble's online, Amazon.com online, and many fine bookstores nationwide.
Well, thanks for the update, Brigitte.
Oh, such a pleasure being with you, Michael. I look so forward to being.
Well, this is why I wrote Trickle Up Poverty. Not only is the Obama administration economic plans ruining us financially, they're doing nothing for our national security but undermining it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, here's some news stories that are worth just scanning. I'm going to read you headlines. Republicans plan January takedowns of Obama's czars. Well, let's hope that we get there. Record trade gap with China sends U.S. trade deficit soaring in August. Thank you, Barack. You know, I call for not an embargo. I call for tariffs on Chinese goods. Well, no one wants to listen to me. Voters more likely to see Democrats as extremists. Yeah, more than Republicans. How do you like that? That's interesting. Likely voters in battleground districts see extremists as having a more dominant influence over the Democrat Party than they do over the GOP. People are not that stupid. They see the naked Marxist in the White House. A woman stabbed a classmate during an anger management session. How do you like that one? The alleged victim said she was seated in the classroom watching an anger management video when Maradiaga started complaining about the video. The suspect said, she said to the woman, "It's not a bad video, give it a chance." Noted that the victim responded in kind, telling Maradiaga, "Me." The argument intensified when the victim noticed Maradiaga was armed with a knife. The Bellevue officer claimed, prosecutors contend Maradiaga stabbed the woman twice in the shoulder and once in the left arm. Afterward, according to charging papers, Maradiaga threatened to kill the woman and her family. Isn't this great? I'm sure she felt better, though, after stabbing the person that caused her anger. You know, that the main thing is that she expressed herself in during anger management. Don't you think that's better? Well, that's it. Justice Department moves to counter overseas absentee ballot. Yeah, right. UN says the U.S. owes it $1.2 billion. Huh? I think they should go to China for the money, don't you? Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan from what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at Carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. Where has our national identity gone, Mr. Republican? Why don't you talk about our national identity, which has been melted down because of the refusal on the part of the last three administrations or four administrations to protect our borders, to protect our language, and for God's sakes, to protect our culture. You don't even hear the word culture anymore. It's as though we don't have one. It's as though we don't even have a culture in America. You never heard of it. Certainly Obama doesn't know what America's culture is because he virtually doesn't even relate as an American. He does not relate as an American. Obama relates as somebody from another country, not another planet, from another country. He always makes references as though there's no such thing as an America. He says we're not bound by blood. We're not bound by soil. Well, what in the hell are we bound by? We're not bound by blood and soil as Americans? What are we bound by? Let's see, not by our blood, not by our soil, not by our borders. What the hell are we bound by? And he says, oh, the American ideals. And what are those ideals? To let people come in across the border and crap on us? To wave Mexican flags at sporting events and not even learn to speak the language? That's your idea of tolerance? How about tolerance for the people who let them come over the border? So as I say to you, my friends, there's much more to be talked about than simply this hokum called the Republican plan here. I don't believe much of it. How about term limits? How about return limits? How about cutting the retirement benefits that government workers get? How about firing 30% of all federal employees and let them feel what the average American is feeling who doesn't have a job? Just take a 30% axe across every department in the federal government, and then you will see things happen in this country. And so you say, well, okay, you're being harsh on the Republicans. Would you rather see Nancy Pelosi get back in power? No, of course not. But I will tell you that Obama is the most divisive man in the history of this republic. Here is a man who is constantly trying to divide and conquer. He turns one group against another. He went to a Hispanic caucus, whatever that is, and he tells them that the Mexicans, amongst others, were here before anyone else. Now, I want to ask the listeners of this show, Democrat, Republican, Independent, can anyone listening to the Savage Nation tell me how saying that to a Hispanic separatist group advances unity in this country? Can anyone listening to the Savage Nation tell me how that helps heal the wounds of the past? Can anyone listening to this show tell me how that helps serve the interests of the United States of America? No, you can't. You can't. Mr. Obama is wrong historically. He's wrong factually. It doesn't matter what groups or peoples may have hunted and gathered on these lands, because you can go to virtually any land on the planet and you will find tribes and groups that occupied those lands, but they did not define those lands as a nation. You want to go back even further, you will find that Neolithic tribes migrated and roamed and hunted and gathered, but they did not define themselves as a nation in the ancient past. No, the concept of nationhood is something quite new and something quite alien to the internationalists who put Obama in power. Several hundred years ago, there was a nation founded called the United States of America, and it was founded on principles other than those of mere presence, Mr. Obama. But I expect that this demagogue will keep on going, telling us that we're not really Americans, that we're not really defined by our borders, language, and culture. And that's why I say Mr. Obama is probably the most divisive president in American history. Okay, rock and roll. I want some rock and roll. I don't know. Let's try something else. I've created a digital a nation on the radio. It's like, what do you call it? Would you say it's a digital? Well, we're not digital yet. all the radio stations are not digital. Are they all digital yet, Beowulf? I don't even know. No, they're still. I've created an analog universe. I have an analog community that I've created called the Savage Nation. And I don't expect people to suddenly get together like in the old days and, you know, one for all and all for one. It's not that way. You know, I've had very, very good fortune with radio as a result of my hard work and my talent and my unwillingness to quit and my unwillingness to compromise. So I've done very well. So you got to take the stop it, Teddy. You got to take the bad with the good. Things happen. And that's all there is to it. Life is not smooth. What, do you expect a smooth run? I mean, who has a life like that? So you have one thing, so something else happens. Do you take the guy who you think is at the top of the world? I don't care who it is. Teddy, cut it out or you're going to get fired. You're supposed to be the mascot. Now you're taking over the radio station. Lots of things going on. One thing after another. One thing after another, because liberalism, the mental disorder, has now metastasized like a virus through the entire country.
Savage.